Good day, fine people of Podcastlandia. This is episode 106, not to be confused with 106, of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I am one of your co-hosts, Faith, Pretty Smart, and joining me, I have Shut Up, Sojo, and Laugh a Lot, Lady Buddha.
Help us, Lord.
We are joining you. Hi. We're here. All is well.
Oh, our Father who art in heaven.
So how are you guys tonight? Lady, so, will you go first? Because obviously Sojo doesn't deserve any space for speaking at this point.
Sojo is spraying us up. I've had a sip of my green smoothie from this morning. I had some left over. It was pretty good. It was spinach, almond milk, peaches, banana, and cinnamon. And also, because unfortunately drinking green smoothies this late gives me too much energy, so I can't go to sleep. So I'm going to see if I can rectify that tonight with some sangria. So we'll see if they can.
So you basically go hype. You're taking an upper and a downer, like...
If it was good enough for Whitney Houston, it is good enough for Lady Blake. No, that doesn't. No, no, actually, no. No.
I hadn't even gotten to Hallowed Be Thy Name, Thy Kingdom Come.
No, Sojo is the one who actually makes green smoothies and puts alcohol in them. At least I'm drinking them separate.
They call that a margarita with spinach. I mean,
I guess. So I haven't had a sip of my sangria yet, but I'm thinking about it. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. So, Sojo, how are you?
I'm good. I just got home, so I have no beverage. I'm sober.
Which, you know, which bears announcing, I mean, based on your previous behaviors.
I'm just saying, I was trying to warn the people. That's all I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't tell you anything, because obviously you're about spreading that business out in these streets.
Jesus told me.
Oh, see. Jesus has nothing to do with your bad decisions. Please don't put that on Jesus.
Love inside baseball.
Oh, God. It's not even 5 minutes in.
Love inside baseball. I love it. It's my favorite sport.
Are y'all done? Are y'all ready to move forward?
I'm ready to move forward.
Okay, so on deck today, well, first of all, if you are listening to this, you might want to hit pause right now and go do one of many things. First being to go to our website, whiskeywineandmoonshine.com, and donate your money and or your Twitter account. The other thing that you may want to do is make sure to, if you have not already, which you should have if you're a good Christian, gone ahead and given us a 5-star review on iTunes or reviewed us on Stitcher, yada, 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 and we will read those reviews on the air so long as we find it suitable. And, you know, we are the judges of what's suitable, so you don't get to say. And lastly, if you could go ahead and share this on your Facebook feed or Twitter feed, that would help us greatly, because what our short-term goal is, to take over the world. And in order to take over the world, we have to be in the ears of people. So if you guys could be our street team and help us with that, it would be greatly appreciated.
Do y'all want smart to take over the world?
Yes.
Then donate your Twitter account today.
Listen, because I am an efficient taskmaster, I get
shit done. She really is. Emphasis on master, overseer, whip cracker.
Shut up. Anyway, so ladies, do you guys have the feedback pulled up so we can read that? No one has it?
No, you didn't give us that task.
No, I don't have it because I've been drinking and eating cupcakes. You know what I've been doing.
Hold on, let me pull it up. Wait a minute.
Wow. She is on 12.
Already. That's why I warned the people.
I believe I'm on 13.
Chat among yourselves, ladies.
Okay, so in chatting amongst ourselves, I want to start the show off by saying that Amanda Stenberg or Steinberg really makes me have to come to grips with how much of a worthless teenager I was. So she's out here fighting for social justice and eloquently doing so while looking fabulous. And as I tweeted earlier, at her age, I was in 12th grade. I was skipping school, drinking, planning outfits, and going to parties. There was no space for social action and the such. There just wasn't. And I am going to go ahead on a limb and say, if we did have this level of social media when I was that age, I certainly wouldn't be using it for good.
You would have been the one on Snapchat lip syncing.
Which I don't even know. I still don't understand how that works, but you're right. I probably would have been. Good and vapid, yes. Sitting at as soon as I got out of the hairstylist chair, like swinging my hair, oh, yes.
Or doing that thing where, like, you have the long hair, but you take your fingers and, like, just pull on the bottoms of it and stare at it.
I don't understand.
I've seen it on Snapchat. Like, I don't understand.
Well, you watch Snapchat, so I don't.
I got it because I thought, I was like, what is it going to be about? And that's what it's about, so I was done.
Checking the ends of your hair for split ends? Because that's what it really sounds like.
That's exactly what it is, but it's like looking sexy while doing it. I don't know. Anyway.
I guess.
But I love Amanda. I'm going to go ahead and preemptively give her my cheers since I feel like Buddha might do H cheers.
You're not mixing the divine feminine right now. You're setting something up as a competition. That is
whatever. You did it last week. You did it last week. Anyway.
Past, ladies, let's stay present.
Lord, the drunken one is keeping the peace. It's not a competition, however, I'm going first.
Wow.
That masculine energy today. Mm-hmm. I thought we had calmed all that down.
Yeah, right. I thought you had certain life experiences that got you back in a certain level of equilibrium.
Apparently, I thought like Nelly.
Y'all some shady hoes. Damn.
Oh, it's better.
Anyway, can we get back to Amanda?
Yeah.
Please,
we're there.
We're waiting on you.
Right. You're the one that's...
Well, no, Smart. Were you going to tell people the backstory or why she's all in social
media? Oh, yeah. She came for Kylie's braided wig and... Then that damn, Andy Cohen said some sly shit about her. And, you know, I just hate the fact that our children can't be seen as children. And in another conversation, someone made the point that she, you know, said these things and she was so smart or eloquent or whatever the word was used to say them. And my response to that is if a child doesn't have to be eloquent, a child doesn't have to be well-spoken. They are a fucking child. And I wouldn't even care if she had written to Kylie, fuck you, you fucking big-lipped bitch. It doesn't matter. She's still a child. So as an adult, Andy, whack-ass Cohen, don't come for her. We don't, No. We got to circle the wagons around you.
Well, what she said to Kylie, and I need to preface this by saying that she, remember when she first got back on the radar with social media was because of her school project. Mm-hmm. That she did, which was entitled "Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows." Mm. A crash discourse on Black culture. So she was actually right in line with what she was doing in school anyway, and what she had already been talking about anyway. And the comment that she left on Kylie's page was simply, "What was it? Let me see if I." Oh, I got it. What she says, when you appropriate Black features and culture but fail to use your position of power to help Black Americans by directing attention towards your wigs instead of police brutality or racism, white girls do it better. Now, even if she hadn't said all that, like Smart said, for adults to go on the side of calling her the jackhole of the day, or media to automatically say she's attacking Kylie, or she's because TMZ said Kylie is pissed.
Wait a minute, let me just pause you there. she's attacking Kylie, and yet Tyga was doing
what? That's
what
I was just about to say. If anything, if Kylie's under attack, she's dating a predator. So a 16-year-old who's younger than her is not attacking her. But TMZ said that she was pissed. Andy and all these other blogs are talking about she attacked Kylie, and there was nothing in her commentary that's even remotely angry. That's why I wanted to read what she said, because there was nothing in it that had the words pissed and attacked. And even she said, in the angry black girl narrative, because it's just another attempt to undermine certain perspectives. Yeah. I have strong opinions. I am not angry.
Amen. But before you read it, I just want to know, where does she go to school, and can't everybody go there?
Hello?
Well, it's not just where she goes to school. It's also a certain level of confidence.
What she's doing at home.
Right, exactly.
Even people, I mean, we can't even get to the confidence level, because since I work in schools, I don't see any kind. I don't hear the word appropriation in the high schools that I walk in.
Now that was her project, which means that that could have been her thing, because it was her and a white girl, and that could have been what they chose to do.
Right, but they still had to have some kind of influence from somewhere. Like, I can't even imagine where somebody would bring that into the classroom. Like, it's just,
that's what I'm saying. I think maybe she brought it into the classroom. She seems very self-aware. She seems like, and this is what I was saying about the part about at home, like, she could have easily Zoe Kravitzed her way through life. You know, but she is choosing to strongly identify as a black girl and defend that identity.
Right.
That might be something that she's bringing from home.
Right.
And if they did a project on anything, or even if she was in her social studies class and said, you can pick to do, it could have been an audio visual class, and they said, make a video, and she was like, oh, bet, cool. I'm making my video on don't cash crop my cornrows.
So my point is that I just think that it's an amazing environment in which that type of thought is allowed to thrive, because that's not typical in a lot of high schools across the country.
But I would add, it's not even typical in a lot of homes, because there are a lot of homes where black people have taught their children or are teaching their children post-racial, all is well, don't make a big stink, especially as a girl, don't make a big stink.
And that's why I'm going back to the thing about the family and not the school, because I've seen projects like that, but they didn't necessarily come from a teacher saying, do this project on this. It came from the kid being like, I have a project to do, and this is how I'm going to express it, and they did it.
And she also has access to social media.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It went viral on Tumblr. Like,
no, but I'm just saying, as far as the idea. So we often talk about the difference between a conversation on Twitter versus Facebook. She has access to the Twitter conversation that speeds things along. We're not talking, we're no longer talking about whether or not we should refer to Caitlyn Jenner as a her. Whereas Facebook, they're still pissed off.
Calling her Bruce.
Right. So this is a young person, and a lot of times young people's minds are sponges if they are exposed to these higher level of thought.
I think it's awesome. I'm just trying to figure out who can be more.
We can recreate that.
I said, I think it's awesome. I'm just trying to figure out how we can get more of it.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like, because I wrote a post about this, about black girl magic and how we were talking about go black girl, go last
week. You wrote a post.
Huh?
Where'd you write your post?
I got a blog, bitch, now.
Okay, that's a small
post. It's got two posts on it, but whatever. But but this is one of them. But the thing is that we have to create environments where our girls can be carefree enough to do what she did. And part of being carefree was, I think we were talking about this in WhatsApp. She already had a taste of racism when she played Rue on Hunger Games, and how when people found out that her character was black, they call her everything up under the sun, a nigger, you know, how could you do this to the character, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She already had a taste of that when she was, what, 12?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever. But then instead of shrinking or trying to shrink to fit in, like I said, maybe Zoe Kravitz her way through it, she decided to take that and identify with who she is and stay strong in that. And that's part of our responsibility. And I mean, like, okay, you can go to school and, you know, get all that, but it's part of our responsibility. And we talked about community in our community to create a space where she's allowed to thrive at that. And even if she's handling it well, just like she is handling it well on her own right now, we have to stand up, which is what we actually have been doing since this happened with Andy, and not let that happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, you know, it's not okay for you to attack a child like this.
You know,
we have to be the guardians of our children. We have to allow them the space to be carefree.
But so why didn't people learn any lesson from Quvajinae when they called her cunt and the wagons were circled? Like, you would, I would think that especially someone like Andy Cohen, who is somewhat aware, you know, with social media and everything, and say, okay, I've read or heard about the arguments. This is a pool I'm not going to dip my foot into.
Like, wait, say what you said again. You said, why haven't we learned?
I'm saying, like, in general, people in general haven't learned, and they still rebuke the lessons that are taught week after week on Black Twitter about how to treat Black people, particularly Black children, because we've had the Quvajinae incident.
You mean why haven't those people, you mean the people who are doing the attacks
who
on
keep doing
children?
It, yeah, who keep doing it, why haven't they learned?
Because there's nothing that has happened to them substantial because of doing that. Nothing happened when they did that to Quvajinae. Now something may happen with Andy, because I think there's, and it may not, because Andy owns and creates all that stuff on Bravo. But they're doing that whole, you know, boycott Andy thing now. Or, you know, everybody's going off on him on social media or whatever. They have a direct person, you know, to target that at. But, you know, nothing ever happened when that thing happened with Quvajinae. So why wouldn't they say, well, you know, we can go ahead and say this, or we can go ahead and do that, because nothing happened. The other thing too is, I didn't see the video clip. I didn't read, you know, whatever. But you also had two Black people on the stage that didn't say anything.
You know what? I was just gonna float around that.
I'm just saying, you had Laverne, huh? Say what?
He said, I've been looking for the video, but I haven't been able to find it so far.
Mm.
Well, you had two Black people on that platform that didn't say anything about, basically, they went ahead, because I think they went ahead and asked the question, was it okay for Kylie to wear cornrows? I don't care if Kylie wears cornrows or not, but the point is that you make a 16-year-old a jackhole of the day for making an Instagram comment. That's the part that, you know, if you want to say whatever about the cornrows, you still need to circle back to the point of, why are we making a 16-year-old a jackhole of the day on a platform like Bravo? You know,
I guess because he can, and especially if those people sitting there, it was Laverne and who else?
Somebody who was silent.
Some silent nobody. So let me see. So Laverne might have been not up in arms because it wasn't about ladies born as men. It wasn't about that. So it wasn't about her personal issue.
Which happens with a lot of people. If it's not your cause.
If you're fully experiencing womanness, then that nurturing part of you, that mama lioness, sort of kicks in.
Oh, here's who the other person was. Vogue editor-at-large, Andre Leon Talley.
You know what? I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop right here. Because neither of them, I think, at their core of being, have that lioness naturally in them. So I'm going to go ahead and sip my wine.
You should. I was trying to find a video clip.
And furthermore, Laverne saw what happened to Melissa Harris Perry. So, I mean, does she think she's above it because she has a vagina?
Well, you know what? I don't know if people are saying anything to her. Let me check the Twitters and see if they're just targeting this towards.
I've seen a few blog posts and a few comments about people saying it.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't paying attention today because I was, you know, doing this thing called work and making money. So I didn't even know anything about this until another WhatsApp group mentioned it.
So. Yeah, I'm not seeing, like, I'm looking on Twitter and I'm not really seeing
Well, while you're looking...
Hold on. It says maybe she did an online statement because somebody responded to her. I appreciate your online statement, but it doesn't excuse your silence as a black girl was maligned on TV too little too late. So let's see if she did a statement.
Woo, they so unforgiving, y'all. You got to do it the right time.
Oh, here she does. She did a post on Tumblr. Woo.
That's what she usually does. It's right over there.
Can we splice that in?
No, it's not a video clip. It's a whole blog post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skim it. Talk among yourselves, ladies.
Okay, so as we talk about all of these indiscretions, I want to put the umbrella over today's show with this, or an umbrella with this. All that counts in life, all that counts in the end, and all that you'll ever be judged on are your relationships, your word, and your work. And that was from a guy in a bar several years ago said that. And I wrote a whole blog post about it. But as we're talking about these things that people have done or have not done, these opportunities that they either missed for, you know, the right thing, you know, I don't think that people consider, quote unquote, final judgment, like, you know, what their actions mean about their core.
You mean what they do or what they choose not to do?
Exactly. Yeah, what they do or what they don't do. Like, I mean, in the media today, we have now Whoopi Goldberg saying, I mean, in the public opinion, I mean, you know, she's walking back what she said, but she has maintained, as John Oliver did a little segment, she has consistently defended fuckboys of many variety.
Right, not just Bill.
And so I wonder if there's ever a point in her time in the mirror in the bathroom in the morning when she says or considers what her behaviors and what her words say about who she is in her core and if that's okay with her.
I wonder if she even considers that to be a part of a tapestry of who she is. Like if she sees those as isolated incidents or she ties them all together to come up with, this is a part of who I am. Because some people don't take the time to reflect like that.
But I think it's an important reflection.
Oh, it's so, definitely.
I mean, you know, if
that
you were,
a lot of people choose not to.
To do. If you were to die today, or if she were to die today, and VSB did a hilarious thing about, you know, people talk about if Biggie had to live, if Tupac had to live, but what if DMX had to died, or what if Whoopi died back in whatever year, you know, how our perception of her would be different. And I don't think people think enough about their quote-unquote brand, even though they say they do. They don't really think about these day-to-day things that they do maybe unconsciously or subconsciously, or I guess subconsciously put in the world, say unconsciously, that also shape their brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for Whoopi, her brand is the I'm not going to succumb to mainstream standards of beauty, yada, 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 but your brand is also you defend fuckboys.
You defend a man, you date a man or had sex with a man who was doing full-on blackface.
Mm-hmm.
And defended that.
Or use the phrase rape.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Roman Polanski and saying it really wasn't rape. So.
Which furthers the idea that rape is only somebody jumping out of the bushes on you.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I have Laverne's stuff pulled up, and she, you know, like she, and she, did, like Buddha said, she does, you know, do writing on her Tumblr page. And what she said about this was, it seems like she didn't know who Amanda was or how old she was or whatever. But she said that, I said what I said in an attempt to not get involved in what I understood at the time to be an Instagram feud between someone with whom I was not familiar with and Kylie Jenner on the topic of cultural appropriation. I've never been interested in getting involved in celebrity feuds. She said in the moment, she felt like the topic needed way more than 10 seconds or less, and she had to respond at the show to fully unpack. And she said that to Andre Leon Talley after the camera stopped rolling. Then she said, many are taking me to task for not defending Amela Stenberg, who I now know is a 16-year-old black actress known for her work in The Hunger Games. She, you know, gives the background. She also says she was impressed with her video. So she went back and did research. Mm-hmm. And then,
sounds exactly like me, because I didn't know who she was by name. I didn't know anything except for somebody was talking about her. Like, this is almost my story verbatim.
And she posted the YouTube clip of the video that Amela had on her Tumblr page. And then she said she was moved by the question she poses at the end of her video, a question I too have asked from lecture stages: what would America be like if we loved black people as much as we love black culture? She goes on to talk about cultural appropriation, blah, 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 and then ends with something by, you know, a bell hooks essay. So I guess, you know, she does give, that gives some background to what happened, that she didn't know who Amela was. She's thinking this is an Instagram feud, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and that this isn't the platform to talk about cultural appropriation, not realizing the background about people talking about that this 16-year-old black girl is attacking mm-hmm. Carly when she really didn't at all.
I'll give her that. I will give her that, you know, she didn't know. It's just still a very bad optic.
And like the lady said, who you know, who was tweeting to her, that's a great response, so, you know, whatever. But I mean, you could look at Amela and see she's not a grown woman. I mean, I don't think she's in her 20s. Like, I look at her and I know she's a teenager. I mean, I think she's.
Yeah, but
I think maybe she and Kylie may be the same, because Kylie looks older. Well, Kylie is older than her, but.
Yeah, Kylie, but Kylie looks like 24.
That's what I'm saying. When you put those two against each other, I don't know. I don't know.
The safe thing to say is I don't get in young people's business and kid business.
If you don't even know who it is, like, right. It was just, you know, one part was a question and one part was a statement, and if you don't have any background, like, I'm not a person, for instance, who's just going to talk off the cuff about someone I don't know by name at all. So I had to go, like, you guys were talking about her by name, first name. I didn't know who you were talking about at all. Like, I had no way to pull from it. So.
But here's what you did, Lady Buddha. You use your Googles.
That's exactly what
And Laverne did, too. I think that my response, though, if I had seen Amela, because, like I said, she doesn't look like an adult. I mean, yes, she looks like she's not, she doesn't look like a little girl, but I still would have been like, Jack Hole, really? I mean, even if I didn't go on to how dare you, blah, 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 I just would have been like, Jack Cole, is that what we're...
I would have liked to see her ask Andy who Amandala was.
I would have liked to see the video to see what actually happened.
I've been looking for it too, Lady Buddha, and I can't find it as well. So, and you as a journalist can't find it. So I'm going to go ahead and just think it's been, like, they did the old, oh my God.
It's been scrubbed.
Yeah, it's been scrubbed like the government. So
talking about the video because they saw it, but I just can't. I mean, it might be out there. I just haven't found it yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me go back to that statement about how you guys would like to be judged. Anyone? Anyone? All that counts in life. All that counts.
Can we go
again?
Back and give the background again? Because that's when I was reading Laverne's.
Okay. So many of the people who are listening know that I used to be a blogger, and some years ago I wrote this post that started out. It was inspired by something that some guy at a bar said. He said, "All that counts in life, all that counts in the end, and all that you'll ever be judged on are your relationships, your word, your work." So is that true?
Yes, I would agree.
So then how do you define relationships, word, and work? Because I think that is sort of the crux. Like, if you don't think that, if you think your work is your 8-to-5 where you get a check, you're going to behave differently towards that work than you would, let's say, maybe your work is, you know, thinking of how you treat the homeless community, or, you know, how you treat underprivileged people or children, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think my work would be my passion. I mean, yeah, it could be your profession or, you know, whatever you get paid for, but I feel like my work on Earth would be related to what my passion is. I don't know if that's answering your question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not. I'm not the one who gets to define these things.
Know if that was answering your question of what is your work. Is that what you were asking?
No, my question is, you know, how do you agree with what he said? All that counts in life, all that counts in the end, and all that you'll ever be judged on are your relationships, your work, your word and your work. Mm-hmm. Do you guys agree that those are things that you'll be judged on, and then how do you define those three areas?
Mm-hmm. Having had several people pass, you know, in my life these last few months, I would say those three things are what people normally, I mean, what people are, you know, judge people for, the impact that they had on their lives, which goes through relationships with those people or the work that they did, or something that they did that was good in their character, which could be defined as their word. So mm-hmm. those three things, I mean, looking, you know, going, seeing memorials and funerals and, you know, all this more than I need to be with, you know, this last few months, that's been what people have been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How they've been impacted by that person's presence on earth.
Mm-hmm. The thing that sort of sticks out to me for these three is your word, because there are so many people that where their word means absolutely nothing. And so if we award 33.3% for each of these three categories, some people are starting out with the 66-67% because their word means nothing. And I think in today's society, we don't put enough emphasis on making sure the words that come out of your mouth, there's follow through for those things.
Some people, that's not what they hope, that's not what they value, though.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay,
they don't care if when they're gone, if you talked about them. I mean, I think, like, if you said their word wasn't worth shit, I think that for some people, they would, like, I'm thinking of, like, a charismatic man with, like, 20 baby mamas at a funeral and, like, all these people falling in the casket, you
I'm
know.
I'm sorry, Young Jock has nothing to do with this.
See, and you know what? Young Jock, as an example, his word really ain't worth shit, but when people remember Young Jock, they smile. Like, when they think about all those women sitting at a table coming to, you know, coming as baby mama, sister wives to, you know, celebrate him every year. Like, they're smiling and they might be frowning at each other a little bit, but they're still, their memory of him, for the most part, is still a good memory, even though his word wasn't shit.
Well, we tend to romanticize things too.
People do.
So,
yeah, people really do.
So, Lady Buddha, are those the three things that you think people are judged on at the end?
Sort of. I think that's a nice way of framing it. I think that all that counts are your thoughts, words, and deeds. So I think that just because we, like, the relationships, the word, and the work are things that people can see outside of you, but I think also part of what happens or the things that you do are reflected in the things that you think about in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can discount the thinking that you do. But I think that's, and you can leave a record of your thoughts. Like, a lot of the writing that we see, that we talk about, that we dissect, the fact that we are even talking about Amandla at all is a reflection of her thoughts and then her word. Right? And so how the thoughts have translated and how they came into being into the world. So we're judging her right now based on that. I think that relationships, sometimes we tend to only think about relationships with humans, but I think that the word relationships is broader than that. So you have a relationship with your finances,
mm-hmm.
you have relationships with your body, you have relationships with individuals, and, you know, so there's all kinds of different types of relationships. And so I think that's a good way of framing it, but I wouldn't just limit it to just romantic relationships or friendships. Mm-hmm. I think that the types of relationships I mean, you know, that really goes into your words and your deeds as well. So, I mean, I think that it's all there, but I would just word it differently.
I remember we had a conversation in WhatsApp a few weeks ago about how we want to be remembered. We were, you know, joking around in WhatsApp and how we want to be remembered, you know, at our homegoing services. And I remember saying that I didn't want, because I, you know, you hear at funerals when people talk about they were such a hard worker. They got to work at 5 a.m. and they didn't leave until, you know, 10 p.m. And, you know, I mean, and that was like supposed to be a really good thing about them. And I was like, I don't want anybody really to talk about how good I was at my job, even though I mean, that's great and everything, but I want people to remember the funny stuff I did, or the way I made them feel or laugh, or, you know, whatever, because that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can see another person who would want to be remembered for being a faithful, I don't know, usher board member for, you know, 35. I mean,
but you know what? At Nicole, I mean, sorry, excuse me, at Lady Buddha, when you say that about the usher boards, thank you very much.
We have deemed Lady Buddha usher board president.
Okay, let me know.
Mm-hmm. We just need to get her white gloves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is, you know, I didn't really grow up in the church, so I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
Well, just know it fits. We wouldn't give you anything
just
that didn't
know
fit.
That even though she is a Buddhist, she sits on that back usher board row with the fan, with some shade, trying to direct people left and right and keeping an eye on what's going on with the kids over in the pulpit.
Yep.
But I think, you know, everybody kind of wants, everybody, it's almost like love languages, I guess. You know, how you have those, you have the five love languages and whatever speaks to you.
Right.
I kind of think that as far as being remembered, everybody has a different way that they want to. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Listening audience, probably things going on in her house that you guys, you know, or wherever she is. We don't know if she's at home. We don't really ask those questions.
I'm sorry, y'all. I got a message that just made me crazy.
While she's getting it together, back to the work. You get on mute over there. Giggle, might giggle a lot. I think that it's both. So kind of the question, is it your 9-to-5 or is it the works you do in the community or whatever is important to you? And I think that that's a personal decision, but I think it really encompasses everything. Like, you don't want to, whatever your job is, you know, ideally without quote-unquote killing yourself for work, you still want to be, you want to feel good about the work that you do. Like, your contribution is still going to be important, even if it's a, you know, you sort widgets. That's going to be important to somebody at some point. You know, when I go to the office supply store and I get my bucket full of clips, I'm really glad that I have a bucket full of clips. And even though...
Wait, do you really need a bucket, though? I don't feel like... I feel like maybe a couple of clips would do you well. I don't...
It's mundane work, but at the same time, you don't have to feel less than whatever because of whatever you're doing, or you don't have to belittle it because it's work or because you get paid to do it. I think that, you know, there's still honor in doing your best, whatever that means, in whatever your role is. So professionally speaking, yes, and, you know, what you do in your free time, your spare time, or to support the community, or whatever, I think all of those things count as your work. Because if you are a complete slacker and you're someone who isn't trustworthy on the job, that's going to be a part of how you get judged in the end too. So, well, yeah.
I think there's a push here stateside to value your outside of the home work more than you do your interactions with friends and family. And the reason I say that is because so many television shows have these characters, and I know they can't pull everybody's backstory in, but they have these characters whose jobs are the sun around which they rotate.
Right.
So on CSI, if somebody, Shaza Zulu, gets killed and all the people from his job come to the funeral and they don't know anything about him, about his personal life, because, you know, he didn't really share that, but they were his BFFs. And so repeatedly we see these things throughout popular television saying that what's most important is where you go from 8 to 5, or in many cases, from 8 to forever. Cane to cane. You go from cane to cane. And I think that has created a devaluation of familial and romantic relationships to a degree.
I think sometimes even the generations before us can sort of co-sign onto that too, because a lot of them were tied to their jobs and careers, or defined by their jobs and careers as well. And then, you know, they kind of passed that down to their children, because I was having this conversation with some friends recently about how, you know, our parents' work ethic seems to be something that was very, very structured, whereas our work ethic is not necessarily that we work less. They have the perception that we work less than they do, because we don't put in those structured hours, not realizing that we still put in the same amount of work, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they passed along that whole, you know, you have to go to this particular job and work for this company for this particular years and retire with this gold watch in order to have some sort of value in your life.
Well, something that has been on my mind lately, and I mean, you guys know my mother, for the most part, save for when she was between husbands, didn't work. And one of the things that, you know, has very much been on my mind, I'm not rebelling against, you know, a system of employment that took my mother away from me, or my father away from me, or my stepfather away from me. I am just cozying up to what's most comfortable for my existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't, at least from my mother, I don't have any, actually what she passed down to me was, don't do that, because what happened, and I'm sure I've probably mentioned this to you guys, my grandma and grandpa divorced, and so my grandmother ended up getting two jobs, and even in her second marriage, when my step-grandfather was making buku money, she still maintained two jobs, because her fear was being, you know, dependent upon anybody else. Mm-hmm. So there were some things that she didn't get to do with my mother that my mother basically swore that she would never do to her children. Mm-hmm. And so I know that a lot of people in my generation are rebelling against that, consciously or subconsciously, rebelling against that my mother was miserable, my daddy was miserable because they went to work every day, blah, 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 and they got nothing but this little pathetic-ass gold watch. It's probably only gold-plated, like yada, yada, yada. I am not rebelling. I am just trying to be... I'm just trying to chill. I'm just trying to, like...
That means you're the second generation. But that means you're the second generation because your mom rebelled against that
idea
your grandmother had. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're the product of the rebellion.
Yeah, and I just want to be able to cook breakfast on a Wednesday.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. So then we have children and then pass, I guess, what, you know, smarts... thing is now the generation of the rebellious child then comes with the I just want to cook breakfast on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll name the generation.
I like that. The
breakfast on Wednesday.
Breakfast on a Wednesday. That's, you know, that is really, and so when I hear, like, I was at the salon last week and my hairstylist was talking about this girl or this person, her family member, this girl who married in, yeah, and how she didn't want to work. And I was like, well, you know, people say a lot of things, yada, yada, yada. And the guy who's a member, I believe, a member of my hairstylist family, married this woman knowing it wasn't that she didn't want to work. You're afraid, you know, my hairstylist presented to me, though, she's lazy, she don't want to work. No, she wants to raise their fucking three kids under five. Mm-hmm. She don't want to send them to a baby warehouse. Is that so wrong, especially when you have the money to do that?
Mm-hmm. That's work.
No, I was
thank
just,
you. That's hard as hell. That's hard as hell. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and so this has been a thing that's come up on several episodes. Stop freaking saying women, particularly, well, women in general or people in general who don't want to clock in and clock out and drive distances for work every day are lazy. Maybe they place their value on, again, breakfast in the morning, because what I don't remember is not having breakfast in the morning as a child. I don't remember as a child cooking my own breakfast. If I wanted to eat cold cereal, it's because I wanted to eat cold cereal, not because there was no adult there to cook it for me.
I don't like the minimalization of what's, I don't want to say a woman's role, but I mean, you know, stay-at-home moms or whatever, because of course we have stay-at-home dads.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like that because that particular task is mainly geared towards women, that is minimalized as not work. Like
right.
You have man's work is going to a structured job for this, you know, amount of time. What's feminine in nature, that's not work. That's something that you should be doing anyway, or you should just want to do it. It's not, you know, you shouldn't consider that work. That's something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, for anybody who has ever worked from home, you know that having an office in your house, whether it's in your living room, a side alcove, causes you to sit down at 8:30 and say, you know what, I just got to do this expense report. And mm-hmm. and you end up clocking in more hours. So imagine if your work is your children and you're with them from kink to kink. You're working more than 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this, like you said, you know, this let's minimalize that to a level that, quite frankly, you know, some people are really suffering for. Because what I do know is there are other women in our neighborhood, well, one particular neighborhood we lived in, that did work, but my mother was at home, and so this little boy, he liked me, got into it with some other kids. My mother was bringing groceries in, and they chased him, and he was able to run in our house and lock the door. Now, and that's because there was some adult in the neighborhood that was home. It was not a lot of, particularly in that neighborhood, a lot of bullshit going on, because my mother was clocking that bullshit. There was a woman, there was somebody home clocking that bullshit. And it doesn't have to be a woman, but there was somebody home clocking some bullshit. And that there's no value in that anymore.
The other thing is that moms don't get vacations.
They don't.
I mean, they don't get like, oh, okay, well, I've got, you know, 21 days of vacation time saved up.
Right, or sick days. You know, there's that commercial, I think it's like a NyQuil or Vicks commercial, whatever,
yeah.
And the dad is like, you know, looks in the child's room, the baby's room, and they're like, you know, dads don't get a day off. That is so true. Like, you know, parents don't get a day off, but mothers who are staying at home, or parents who are staying at home with their children, or who are the primary caretaker, the picker-upper, the dropper-off, they don't, dropper-offer, excuse me, they don't get a freaking break.
Mm-mm. 'Cause, and they also do all the extra, like, even if that child is school age, they still do all the extracurricular activities,
mm-hmm.
the projects that they have to do, the this and the that, even after the spouse comes home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. And that just always burns me up when people, you know, go into stay-at-home moms as if that's some sort of cakewalk.
Yeah, and I think another piece that is often missing, and, you know, people love getting their credit. If you have a wife and y'all can afford for her to stay at home, that means you make enough money for her. I mean, you know, you may get your ego stroke from the type of car you drive, but the real ego stroke should be that your family has the option of her not working and focusing on you, even if you guys don't have any kids. And I've seen situations with my friends where friends have, you know, had children or finished school or whatever, where they didn't work and their husbands got used to a certain lifestyle. Their and I don't mean just like cooking and cleaning. Their husbands actually got used to coming home and she wasn't pissed about work.
Mm-hmm.
Or having
she could
to,
just, mm-hmm. yeah, listen to him be pissed. You know, it wasn't that. It wasn't, I don't even know what the word is, so go ahead, y'all fill in.
No, that you're having someone who doesn't have to, because there is a certain thing when you come in from work, you have to have, well, I don't know if everybody has to have it, I know most people do have to have wine downtown with two people coming home at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both are still wound up, so there is some value in that. And then the other thing with, you know, with the, you know, both people working, that's become something that people have had to do. And so, it, you know, when you get to a point where both people don't have to, it really does say something. You know, you could see that as a point of pride. because most times, you know, people were having to go out to make money to try to, well, people were living on two incomes, you know, because they have to have those two incomes in order to keep their heads above water.
But I would also add to that, one, sometimes a person who needs to work outside of the home is the woman, because her position gives her, there's more benefit financially for her position with the family. Second of all, I remember, it was, when did I work for the Nerd Factory, like 2001-ish, I don't know. Anyway, and there was this guy, he worked for our software development company, contracting company that we were using, and he said, you know, he basically drove a crappy car, his wife was a teacher, and their plan was to save up some money so that when they had a baby, she could quit. That meant that he wasn't buying a Mercedes. He was driving that damn Honda, because a Honda will last forever. He was driving that Honda, and he put her in the better of the two cars because, you know, woman's safety and everything, but they made a conscious decision that their marriage didn't mean that they were going to bump up from the 5 series to the 7 series. Mm-hmm. And so that's another area that I think people don't really consider with regard to marriage and lifestyle. Like, if I were married, I don't know if my car qualifies as a luxury car. I don't know. But I certainly, if it was between having this car and some other fancy, ridiculous shit and paying $1,200 a month for fucking daycare, I got to tell you, I would be like, I guess I'm not going to have that new fancy purse. Because
you said a word with the daycare.
Hell yeah, girl, yes, daycare is expensive. And mess around and have two kids under two?
Yep.
Yeah, so, and that's something that I don't think, you know, we talk enough about the real cost of children and life.
I agree.
So, having said that, are y'all ready for y'all cheers? Or did we have any feedback that we need to read? Somebody was supposed to be looking for it. And then,
whoops.
See, right there. And this is why we can't have nice things, because you tell people.
While I was trying to look up the feedback.
Well, look, while you're looking up the feedback, let me just say this about this whole Amazon situation. Now,
what?
Amazon is doing a sale. And I've already got $800 worth of stuff in my cart that I'm hoping goes on sale. $400.
I did the same thing. I put everything that I'm hoping is going to be on sale on my little envelope, and I can just go through and, okay, yep.
Yes. And after a good 30 minutes of research, I determined that I don't need a smart TV. And I'm hoping that one of our listeners can tell me, I don't know when this is going to post, but tell me why I would need a smart TV, because at this point, this is not a humble brag, but I do have a flat screen in my kitchen, and I can't really justify, like, if I buy another TV, I feel like if it's going to be a smart TV, it should go in the living room. But the living room TV is already big enough, and so I would have to take the living room, put it in my bedroom. My bedroom TV can't fit in the kitchen on the counter. So it's just. I know these are first world problems.
I was just about to say you're talking about all these things, and I mean, it's not like you really are getting a smart TV because you need one. You would be getting it because you want one. So.
Oh no, I don't need this TV in my bedroom. This one was a gift, and I don't need the one in my living room. The one in my kitchen.
Smart TV, Miss Smart.
Huh?
Do you want the smart TV?
I don't necessarily want it, but I feel like I'd be missing out if it was a good sale and I didn't get it.
Or you know what you could do? Here's a thought. You could buy the smart TV and then ship it to me.
Well, that's a stupid idea, but
no, it's not.
Kudos for the effort. Kudos for the effort.
Since you wouldn't know what to do with it, I could be sure to make sure that it's getting good use. I don't know where I put it, but I'd be sure.
Right, you only have a place to put it in.
Would I be sure that it would be getting good use? But no, I don't even know what a smart TV does.
I know, that's what I said, my 30 minutes of research. Apparently, it almost comes with apps basically on it, which I don't necessarily need because I have Chromecast on most on all my TVs.
And I have Roku boxes that I love that, I mean, I'm like, I don't, see, this is going to be the thing. By the time I actually do get a smart TV, it's going to be something else. It's going to be the year that they change to something else. It's when I'll break down.
But they're going to change to FG, like, fucking great TV.
Right.
Like.
Right.
Have you found the stuff you're supposed to be looking for now? Yeah,
oh,
she's still talking.
Girl, see, this I is, this down is, on the floor and put my feet in the air.
You're so crazy right now.
Oh, no. Okay.
And you're totally sober, so.
Oh, okay. We have feedback from Lady Row 46. Do we have sound effects?
I didn't load them because, yeah, and you know how the weather goes. We can't be, you know.
Okay, well.
It's still storming. It's still storming over here.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. All right.
You really are.
Okay, stand y'all. I've been a loyal listener since episode 1. The discussions are always interested, hosted by Sojo, Miss Smart, and Lady Buddha. These three beautiful and very smart sisters discuss current events, life, love, and a variety of other topics. Love those BMJ reviews too. Give your ears and mind a treat and subscribe. So thank you, Lady Ro, and just want to give her a shout out too because she and two of her friends also have a podcast.
Mm-hmm. I listened today.
Yes, and you guys can find them on Twitter. Their Twitter handle for their podcast is at the WPOV pod. And, of course, you can find Lady Ro on Twitter at Lady Ro 46, and I think she might be joining us for those Being Mary Jane reviews.
Mm-hmm, since we got a ship jumper amongst us.
Right. So go ahead and check them out as well. They had some really good discussions on their latest podcast. They actually, Chris Lehman, that question that he asked about the fatherhood, he actually asked them the same thing. And I was giggling to myself because some of their responses to the fatherhood discussion were some of the things that we actually said about the protection with men. And also the thing about work ethic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was cool to see that, you know, as women, we have shared things that we appreciate from the men in our lives. And that also sends a consistent message to guys, you know.
So, wow, not only as black people we have consistent messages, but we have them as women as well. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you know? That's not shocking.
But, huh. Yeah, so shout out to her. Thank you for the feedback.
Hey, boo, hey. So I guess this is the time where Lady Buddha steals Sojo's cheers. So let's go ahead and get into that. Lady Buddha, who do you have cheers for today?
I have a long list.
Oh, boy.
Hey, don't take Paula T. Hammond, because that's mine.
I'm not. But I wanted to say, I don't know if you all heard me when you were talking about Lady Ro, that I said she had a beautiful voice, because I hadn't heard her podcast or her voice before yet, but I had a really nice voice, so shout out to her.
Can I pause here and say that Lady Ro tweets us all the time, and she did not tell us that she was doing a podcast. Call me Patty, but
y'all weren't paying attention, but go ahead.
No, she wasn't. No, nope.
It came up at some point. But anyway, I gave a cheers last week to Serena because she had an upcoming match with her sister. And she went on to win that and then went on to win Wimbledon. So shout out to Serena Williams for capturing her 21st major in the Serena Slam for the second time. Woo, 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 woo. So we're hoping that she wins the U.S. Open coming up soon and will tie the record with Steffi Graf. Opens. At any rate, also shout out to President Obama. For his most recent commutations, he commuted the sentences of 46 prisoners, and so that brings his total up to 90, I think. So shout out to him. You know, I'm an abolitionist, so anytime we can get some people out of jail and think of other ways that we can make society better, I really appreciate that. And then shout out to NASA and the New Horizons spacecraft. We just found out that they reestablished contact. So on its journey to Pluto, it looks like it was successful, and the spacecraft is doing all right. All right, so shout out to them. All right, you can catch me online at cocostudio.com. That's C-O-C-O Studio singular, cocostudio.com, or on Twitter at NDC Harp, NDCHARP. What about y'all?
Okay, so my cheers goes to Paula T. Hammond. She was named the new head of the Department of Chemical Engineering at MIT effective July 13th. Mm-hmm. Not only is she the first person of color, but she's also the first woman appointed to the post. And the shallowness in me would like to highlight her freaking skin, because the official announcement in the MIT News has a picture of her, and her skin, honestly, she looks about 27. And, oh, black just don't really crack. But, like that's big news, and I like to see, you know, women, and particularly black women in science making moves, because that does give our girls someone to look up to, and it makes it real for them, makes them know that it is possible if they are, like, in third grade and like science. That being the case, I'd also like to shout out my girl, I don't want to say her name, but she has a PhD in chemical engineering, and she works for a large company in Ohio, and she's a soror, and she went to HBCU. So if anybody's listening to this and know her, tell her that I shouted her out if she doesn't hear this, because science rocks, and more of us need to get into it. With regard to how I can be contacted, I am on the Twitter at think_P_smart. I also want to give a cheers to Mimi from Listenopoly. It'll be coming soon, which will be like sort of a database or whatever for black podcasts. I had the opportunity to talk to her earlier this week, and I think she's got some really great ideas that she's going to launch very soon. So look out for more on that. So, Joe?
Yay, Mimi. Of course, y'all know from earlier that my cheers was to Amanda for personifying black girl magic, and definitely developing and making herself known as one of those guardians of black girl magic in the future. And then also, I wanted to give cheers to whoever it was from The View that decided to bring the legal analyst on the show. To actually push Whoopi into moonwalking back her comments about Bill Cosby, because I think a lot of times, you know, people have the arguments, because what Whoopi's argument was about Bill Cosby was that they never brought charges, they never did this, they never did that. And so for someone to have the legal analyst come on the show and actually explain, not just for Whoopi, but for those people who are also watching who have those thoughts and may not know the legal system or may not understand why after all these years, you know, these things are happening. Whoever had that idea to bring that person on the show, I definitely wanted to give them cheers to. You guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. That's SOJOXOXO.
One more thing. I know that some of you may have seen the hashtag GoBlackGirlGo. I know that we tweeted out a lot of more famous people, but I think it's really important that if you have, you know, friends or just regular women that are doing a damn thing, to shout them out. And as we get those, we'll try and highlight them on the show. So if you tell us exactly why you're saying go, black girl, go, like I think I did one for Sharonda Britton, who is the insert title that has something to do with diversity for Walmart. But she is, you know, just a regular girl that you walk past in the Walmart and not even know that she's, like, big pimping. So if you guys could do that, and you don't have to be a woman to do it. It could be your mama, your auntie, or whatever, as a man who is just doing, you know, big black girl things. We'd like to know about it so that we can give them a little, you know, a little shine where we, you know, because we don't often get shine, particularly just, you know, regular black girls. You can find our show, as I said earlier, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine www.whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. We're on Twitter at Whiskey, Wine, Moon. We're on Podomatic, Spreecast.
See, I had a liquor hitting her.
You know what you're not going to do is make me out to be something I'm not. I am a social drinker, and I'm being social right now. So we're on Spreecast and Podomatic and just basically in these auditory streets. So look for us, and like I said, feel free to share us with your kith, your kin, your friends, and your enemies. And I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Cheers.
Cheers.